This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Since 2003, he has had five top 10 albums, has become the first Australian artist to have 10 consecutive top 10 singles here in Australia. He sold over 1.3 million units in this country alone. He's currently on tour supporting his new album, A Million Suns. A big Joy 94.9 welcome to Mr. Shannon Knoll.
G'day, mate. How are you?
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
Now, A Million Suns is an Aussie album. It's when you listen to it, it's very an Aussie album. Yep. And there's some great people on the album as well. Lindsay Rhymes, who came in here in April with Danielle Blakey, who's the top 24 next
year. Yeah, she is. I was actually seeing her last
night. Really, really proud of her. Yeah. And he's an amazing producer, songwriter.
He's great, yes.
You've got Anthony and David from DNA as well.
Yeah.
I mean, what made you decide to work with those people?
Well, mate, you know, after the show, they sent me all over the world to write with people like Desmond Child and Diane Warren and Richard Marx and all these people. And you know, I just sort of, I had no clue what I was doing, really. I was sort of thrown in the deep end. But with this album, I wanted to, you know, I knew it wasn't going to be an international release, so I wanted to write it with Australians for Australians, if you know what I mean. And Lindsay especially knew my backstory and everything, you know, and sort of they had some ideas for some songs that I just really connected with because of their knowledge of my history and where I've been and where I was hopefully going. So, you know, I think lyrically it's great and it's positive again and that sort of thing. And I reckon it was a better fit, you know, than sending you over to write with someone in the States or something who does it every day with someone else from some other hopeful, you know.
It's like a factory.
Yeah, you know, and they don't understand where you're coming from and what you're trying to achieve. So it was great to work with some people who you could connect with the lyrics and the storylines.
Now, the lead single, Switch Me On, was written by Good Charlotte's Benji Madden and yourself. Mm. Now, his brother Joel was on The Voice.
Yep.
I'd say Guy is also on X Factor. Mm. Have you thought about going down that avenue and mentoring future talent?
I mean, I think, you know, to be 100% honest, the process that Guy and I went through, you know, is similar to what these kids are going through now.
Exactly.
So,
yeah,
I think, you know, there'd be a lot of advice that I could give in that situation. You know, it's a different way of doing things, but I think it's a new way. You know, the old guard can sit back and say like, oh, you don't deserve it because you didn't go through the pubs and clubs like we did. But whatever. I think, you know, a lot of people who were, you know, massive in this country were found on talent shows, you know, or talent, you know, talent quests and that sort of thing. So, you know, I think there'd be a lot of help that I could give them when it comes to avoiding the pitfalls and you know, and work forward and hard and all that sort of thing. So, you know, I think the ball's in the producer's court with that one, but I'd be gladly up for helping someone, you know?
Because I think fans, I've realised this as well, that fans want more these days.
Yeah.
You know, they want to interact with the artist more. They want on Twitter and Facebook.
Well,
and
it's much more
YouTube
personal
and,
these days, you know what I mean? And that's what these shows bring. They bring, you know, not just the music, but the whole person themselves, their character and their personality and everything comes with it. So, and like you said, with the social media these days, the fans are much closer to the artists as well. So, you know, I think that's something that you know, you learn the hard way or you can get helped out with it, you know. And I think mentoring a lot of these kids on these shows is a really necessary thing to do because, you know, they do the show and then they get thrust out in the world and then see you later, we just go on tour or whatever. They're all of a sudden the help stops when the cameras stop too.
And that must be really hard as well because you're up so high and then when you get home, it's like you're down here.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you comprehend that?
Where do you go from there, you know? How do you start, you know? So, I'd love to help a little bit because, you know, if it benefits somebody with an ongoing career instead of just getting sort of cast out in the world and to fend for yourself, you know. So
it's been nearly 10 years since Australian Idol, and you and Guy and probably Ricky Lee are one of the select few which are still going big guns and that on the charts and touring and stuff. But others have sort of fallen down. Why do you think that is? Is it the work ethic? Is it
mate? It's hard to say. You know, you just can't tell what's going to work and what's not going to work these days with music. You know, I can write a song and be like so pumped about about it because I think, you know, I really like it. And I think, you know, you've got to do music that you generally enjoy yourself. But, I mean, with my situation, I've done, you know, so much touring and that sort of stuff that you've got to get out to the fans as well, you know. And, and guys reinvented himself a couple of times with style and with his style of music and that sort of thing too. And Ricky did the same thing, you know. She was a little bit down and out and then went over to, I think she went over to America and wrote with a writer, a producer over there and came back guns a-blazing. So, you know, I think you got to keep pushing. Nothing's guaranteed. So, you know, you just got to keep moving forward and keep trying to work at it. And it's, you know, you're never guaranteed of anything. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, putting your head down and getting stuck into it.
Because some things work and some things don't work. But a true artist needs to go through those troughs, you know.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
You can't have it all sort of one level.
No, because then you sort of, you don't respect it either, I think. And you start to expect it, and you think, you know, no matter what you do, people are going to, no matter what you do, people are going to love it, you know. But that's not the case, you know. You've got to continue to confirm that support base, you know.
Now, since your debut single What About Me, you've had so much success, but I was a bit perplexed, to be honest, Shannon, when Sony released your Best Of No Turning Back in 2009 after three studio albums.
Yeah,
now,
me too.
You were actually working on a new album, and as an artist, that must have been really frustrating for you.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was, mate. You know, like I'd had a fair bit of material out by that stage, and I think, you know, with contracts, mate, you know, that the Best Of album was at their discretion, so I couldn't do anything about it. So I think, and then with the 60 Minute Story and This Is Your Life stories that same year, they thought it was, and you got to understand, all them songs have been recorded, so there's no cost involved in that.
Yeah.
So that's just whack that one out. Then, if however many units it sells, then that's all profit, you know. So anyway, you know, you can't. Some things are out of your control.
Was that the nail on the coffin with your contract with Sony?
Well, I mean, the one good thing that did come out of it was you know, I did War of the Worlds, the stage show that year, in the UK, and that gave me a perfect album to try and put out off the back of that tour. So it was like, because when you release an album in the States or in the UK or overseas, you normally take all of your best songs, so you do, it's more or less a best of album anyway. So you know, instead of just putting one album out, because you obviously got to go out with the strongest album that you possibly can.
Over the years, you would have learned about not only the recording industry but also the business side of things. And for an artist, you know, they like to hone in on the recording and the songwriting. But sadly, it is a business.
It is, yeah.
And what have you learnt from that side?
Well, mate, so much, you know. It's been amazing. Because, you know, when back on the farm, I just was dad's offsider, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever, he was the one who done all the thinking. He just tell me what they're doing, I go and do it, you know. So, you know, in this business, if you rest on your laurels for 2 seconds, you can, you know, a mistake can be made that brings about the end of it. So, you know, I've learnt so much, you know, through the speed bumps and the highs and the lows, you know. That hasn't all been a great run, you know. There's been parts where I've gone like, wow, okay, note to self, don't do that again.
Yeah. Now, A Million Stones is your first album for Universal Music after coming from Sony. Having been with Sony for so long in your career and now going to a new label, it's like changing schools, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you need to, obviously, there's that pressure on you to deliver, and there's pressure on you to, you know, to top that or to match that or whatever.
Yeah.
What made you sign with Universal as opposed to, what were you looking for?
Well, I think, you know, relationships can run their course a bit, you know, and I think, you know, this was a great run with Sony, but I think it sort of got to the point where, you know, their heart wasn't completely, maybe not in it, and neither was mine. And you can't approach this business half-hearted. You've got to have everyone, you know, on the same page. So we sort of both all agreed that it would be best if I moved on. And Universal were keen and ready and waiting to move forward and look at the bigger picture instead of just, you know, watching it slowly run down and tail out, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I it was great to have that enthusiasm back again, and it inspired me to you know, get right back into it again and go my hardest. So, you know, I think it's they've been great to work with so far, and I'm looking forward to working with them in the future.
Let's go back a bit for your career. So obviously when What About Me came out after Idol, that first album was massive, and you were thrust out to this public and who wanted more from you and the media. How did you cope with all that in the early days?
Yeah, I did. So I struggled, definitely struggled a little bit early, because all of a sudden people were having, you know, positive and negative opinions about you when they've never met you. You know, my thoughts on the whole thing is don't judge me till you've met me. You know, I don't think anyone's got the right to judge anybody else till they've walked a mile in their shoes. You know, and there's just far too many people out there who have an opinion who have no, you know, have no history or have no right to have an opinion on the subject. So, you know, that was a bit of pill to swallow, and it took me a long time to get past that, you know, and get my mind around that and create that thick skin, you know. But, you know, I still to this day, you know, it affects you when you know, you get someone on Twitter or Facebook or hiding behind a keyboard, you know,
it's hard,
saying something horrible. Sort of where I grew up, you know, small town. It didn't take long for the old Bush Telegraph to get the comments that someone said about you to come around, you know, and then you'd see that person and you'd thrash it out and you'd sort it out. You'd either you know, you'd deal with it or front them about it, you know. So it was always. It was always something you could handle, whereas now you feel very helpless because there's nothing you can really do about it, and you don't even know why they're saying it or where it's come from. So, you know, I think, you know, that was a struggle, you know. But I think everyone, as much as they'd like to say it doesn't affect them, it definitely does in a certain way, and that's a concerning thing about social media and that sort of thing. I think, you know.
How do you cope with Twitter and Facebook? Do you get involved? I mean, I guess with Twitter and Facebook, you can dip in.
Yeah.
And have a look, and then come out again.
Yeah. I'm more of a Twitter person myself, you know. Yeah. For better or worse, it's just a bit of fun for me. I don't take it too seriously, you know. I think I make more jokes about myself than anything, and throw stuff out there that's actually going on, you know. And I think that's what the fans enjoy about it the most is that it's honest and it's real. So, you know, that's how I use it, and I sort of get a laugh out of it myself sometimes. So, you know, I think it's just trying not to take it too seriously. But it's a great way of the fans being able to keep connected with you and know what's going on and keep up to date with what's happening, you know.
Your second album, Lift, you had more, I guess, control over because you co-wrote most of the tracks yourself. Yep. And their title track was used for The Biggest Loser for 5 seasons, which from a marketing point of view or from a business side of view was very smart financially.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely, mate. I mean, that's the way with downloads. The whole music industry has been, you know, completely revolutionized with downloads and that. And it's something that nobody was ready for, so it took everybody by surprise, and you can see the carnage that it sort of caused, you know, with pirating and stuff like that. So, you know, when it comes to being able to get paid for what you've created or what your work, you know, cuts like that really help, you know, and that's why I love seeing you know, Aussie artists getting used for commercials and ads and that sort of stuff. I personally think that you know, we look too far abroad all the time to bring a name in just because they might have had a hit overseas, one hit or something, you know, and they've got no connection with the Australian population in whatsoever, and they pay them, you know, 50 times the amount of money that they would pay an Australian to do it, you know, when Australians probably sold more units and had more success here than the person that they're bringing in. So, you know, I think that's a bit saddening, really. You know, I think, you know, we should show more support for Australian artists and try and help them, because, you know, without them, you know, there's been some magnificent, you know, domestic music made over the years, and I think it'd be really sad if it started to fade or we lost it altogether.
I have to say, here at Joy, we do play a lot of Aussie music, especially independent music as well.
Yeah.
So we're always playing Aussie music.
That's great.
And it's really frustrating for us as a station, because we support this wonderful talent.
Yep.
But our competitors in commercial radio don't. And songs don't get heard, and which is really frustrating, because you hear a really great song.
That's
and
right.
It's not.
Yep.
It deserves to be successful, but it's not.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's really frustrating.
Oh, definitely. You know, that's the control of the industry that you know, the sort of a lot of the stations do have. If they just don't want to play, they won't play it, no matter how good the song is sometimes, you know. But, you know, thank goodness for you guys and yous do that, because, you know, Like Gautier probably wouldn't have got discovered if he didn't, you know, have a really great film clip.
Exactly. You know, yeah. So Canberra.
Yeah, you know, that was an amazing film clip and a great song. So, you know, all power to both of them for their success. You know, and maybe there's a heap more out there that aren't getting that chance. So, you know, I think you know, go for it, and you're doing a great job with it.
With your audience, obviously, when you tour the country and you see, I guess, some familiar faces
yep.
that you recognise from over the years, but from different town to city, you must see a vast range of different people.
Yeah,
what's it like having all those people respond to you and listen to your music? It must. I can't imagine what it feels like.
Oh, mate, it's terrific, you know. I mean, my goal with my music is to try and make a difference in some way or make people feel something, you know, and mostly feel that they're not alone in how they're feeling. So, I mean, everybody hears a song they haven't heard for, you know, 10, 15 years, and it takes them right back into that time in their life when, you know, they might have had a mullet and ripped denim jeans or something, you know, you know, when they were cruising around on their pee plates, you know, with their first girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's the beauty of music, you know, not many other things can do that. Maybe, you know, only like a taste of a meal you haven't had for 20 years or a smell of a certain flower or tree or something blossoming takes you back to your childhood, you know. I think that's an amazing power that those things have. So, you know, I want to have people connect with the lyrics of what the storyline is in the song, you know, and maybe realise that they're not alone in what they're going through, and that someone else has gone through it before, and you know, that somehow may comfort them or help them through it, you know.
Finally, Shannon, what's next for Shannon Knoll? Obviously, this tour wraps up in early November.
Yeah.
What's next for you?
Mate, well, we're going to bring out a new single. The way the music industry is going, a lot of people can sort of think that rock and roll's past its expiry date, but I'm gonna keep going with it, I think. So the first song off this latest album was pretty rocky, but I think the one I'm bringing out as a single towards the end of the year was probably the rockiest one I've done in a long
time.
Which
is called?
It's called Man I Can Trust, and it's about...
That's from the new album?
No, it's a new one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's about you know, that one person. I think everyone's got one that they trusted and they sort of they took them to the cleaners, if you know what I mean. So you know, it's a little bit of a middle finger up to that person and saying, you know, you won't stop, you won't keep me down, and I'm bouncing back.
So a new single for fans before the end of the year. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming into Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for having me. It's been great. Thank you.
Thanks, Shannon. And all the best for the tour.
Thanks.
And look forward to some new stuff next year.
Yeah, mate. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.